I want to thank our brother Thomas for the invitation to come along and to spend the day with us here in Lisburn. We really enjoyed the children's service this morning, and we trust that you were blessed and that you enjoyed it also. We certainly enjoyed the preaching, but it's good to be back with the young people tonight and to bring the Word of God onto them. I apologize. I was Neil at Dr. Paisley's dinner just the other Saturday night and asked to go to Rondlestown, and some preachers don't know when no means no. He says, I'll advertise you anyway. And so I've been announced, and I have to go from here to Rondlestown afterwards, and during the singing of the last hymn, I will leave the pulpit, and my wife and family will join with me, and we'll race on up there. Probably break every speed limit that's between here and Lisburn, but wouldn't be the first time. But we do encourage the young people to follow up afterwards. You may get a seat in the porch, young people, and you may get one in the pulpit if you're quick enough to get beside me. You can come up to the porch for the pulpit, whatever suits you best. Turn with me in God's Word to a very familiar portion of Scripture, Luke chapter 15. We're reading the story again tonight of the prodigal son. One of the young ladies during the program this evening was mentioning that with the summer months starting upon us, that there'll be many temptations for the young people. Of course, there's many temptations in the world today for young people. Don't have to wait till the summer months, but it seems to intensify in the summer months. When men take a little rest from the activities of the church, then the old devil, man, he gets on his black stallion and he comes in. And he bombards the young people with every temptation that there is in the book. And you find the first temptation in the summertime that will be common in every church is to heed the call of the waves on a Sunday evening and to leave the pew to sit on the seaside. And the old devil will say, sure, it's only one Sunday evening. That's enough. That's enough to get you started on the road to backsliding. The prodigal son reached the far country when he took his first step. And very often that's what happens in the summertime. The old devil, he gets us to take that first step. And that first step leads us to the far country. But maybe there's one in the meeting tonight, not only a young person. Maybe there's an older person. And maybe you have come tonight as a visitor. We welcome you in the Lord's name. But you have come tonight and you're backslidden, all dressed up, Bible in hand, Lady Hat Mary on their head, but their hearts are far away from God. You're in church, but you're far away from God. You're in the far country. We trust tonight that if that's you, that the Lord would speak even unto your hearts. But Luke chapter 15 and the verse 11. He said, a certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. And he divided unto them his living. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. Then he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in that land, and he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed swine. And he would fain have filled his belly with the husks that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. Then he came to himself. He said, how many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger. I will arise and go to my father, and will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. And he arose and came to his father. But when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion, and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, I am no more worthy to be called thy son. But the father said to his servants, bring forth the best robe, and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand, and shoes on his feet, and bring hither the fatted calf, and kill it,
Let us eat and be merry, for this my son was dead, and is alive again. He was lost and is found. And they began to be merry.
We'll end our reading there for the sake of time, trusting that the Lord would add his blessing to the reading of his word to our hearts this evening. Let us bow together and seek the Lord's help now, not only for the preaching, but also for the hearing, and also for the application of his word to our hearts. Let us bow together in prayer, please. Heavenly Father, we thank thee for all that has gone hitherto before us this night. We thank thee for the messages and song from these young people. We thank thee, Lord, for the works or the words of outreach. O God, we pray that thou would bless these different teams from the church here in Lisburn that are going out to serve thee, Lord, in places beyond the bounds of this church. And O God, we pray that thou would add on to them. Know that thou wilt give to them all that they need, that they might serve thee with power. O God, we come tonight, we stand before thee and before the open book. We thank thee for thy word in our mother tongue. But Lord, thou hast ordained through the foolishness of the preaching of thy word to save them that believe. And O God, we confess we need thee tonight. We need thee, Lord, for the hearing of thy word. We need thee for the doing of thy word. We need thee, Lord, especially for the preaching of thy word. And O God, we pray that thou wilt direct thy word to needy hearts this evening. Lord, to those that are in and are backslidden, speak to them. O God, to those that are in and are never worth seeing, Lord, challenge them. Bring conviction of sin by the power of the Holy Spirit. And O God, we pray that even us, thy people, Lord, that we might be blessed in our innermost souls. O God, give help to this preacher tonight. Undertake for him. And O may he speak as thus, and thus saith the Lord. Undertake for us now. We lay ourselves at thy feet. We commit ourselves to thee in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Amen. The finest, the best, shortest story ever told was written about 2,000 years ago. It is the story that we have read tonight, the story of the prodigal son, found here in Luke's Gospel in the chapter 15. Now, not counting the appendix that deals with the jealousy of the older brother, the story of the prodigal is told in less than 350 words. Yet this story never grows old, and it never fails to grab the attention, no matter how many preachers, no matter how many times this story is preached upon. For the prodigal son that we read of tonight is typical of many a son who has been brought up in a good and a godly home. Now, just as a matter of interest, some commentators say that this story is just a mere parable. In other words, they say it's just a story that is told to teach a spiritual lesson. They say that it is no actual reality. Now, you can ask the Reverend Martin or the Reverend Lucas whether the next commentator is true or not. But another commentator has suggested that this story is based on two brothers who were among the disciples, namely Matthew and Thomas. Thomas was also known as Didymus, and the word Didymus means the twin. And this commentator, John Phillips, says that it is possible that Thomas and Matthew were twin brothers. Now, remember that Matthew was a Jew who became a publican or a tax collector for the Roman government. And therefore, in this job, Matthew was an outcast of Jewish society. In their minds, Matthew had gone to the far country. He was a tax collector for the Roman government. And so it is possible, not certain, but it is certainly a thought, that Matthew could have been the prodigal son spoken of here in Luke chapter 15, and Thomas would have been the older, jealous brother. Certainly Thomas was a canopsis sort of a boy. I don't know if you use the word canopsis in Lisburn, but it's a country word, and we use it where I come from. He was canopsis sort of a boy, and even when he was told about the resurrection of Christ, he doubted it and wouldn't believe the rest. He certainly was a man who wasn't easily convinced. Typical of the jealous sort. It's possible, but certainly as a tax collector, Matthew, he could have and he would have led a sinful life that the prodigal led in Luke chapter 15. Matthew as a tax collector wouldn't have been beyond cheating the people. He wouldn't have been short of a pound as they speak of. And he would have had the wherewithal to live the life like the prodigal son. But let us notice some lessons tonight from this story about the prodigal. The first thing I want us to notice is the life that the prodigal despised. The life that he despised. You know, there's no doubt about it, but the prodigal came from a good, a wealthy, and a loving home. When the prodigal had had enough of sin, and when his sin had robbed him of everything, and when the prodigal came to his senses, we find him returning home. And while he was a long way off, the scripture tells us, the father seen him, and the father ran out to meet him. And even though he was in rags, and even though the prodigal stank from the swine, his father didn't mind the rags or the smell. The father hugged him, fell on his neck, and he hugged him, and he kissed him. Why? Because he loved him. The prodigal came from a loving home. There was a father, at least at home, loved his boy with all of his heart. But the prodigal, you notice, also came from a wealthy home. You see, on his return, his father held a party for him, and he killed the fatted calf to celebrate the homecoming of his long-lost son. And more than that, the prodigal was given a new robe. And I remember this, the fatted calf would have been a precious item in that home. Robes in those days were very expensive and a very precious commodity. And yet the fatted calf was killed for the boy. A new robe was given to the son. More than that, there was a ring for his hand. A ring, a family ring put on his finger. And shoes then were brought for his feet. A calf, a robe, a ring, a pair of shoes. This was a wealthy home. And as well as that, there were servants to attend to their every need, to their every back and call. This young man on his return, look at what he got. He got the fatted calf. He got the best, the newest robe. He got the ring, he got the shoes. He got a servant. This was a wealthy home, it was a loving home. But for all this, the prodigal, when he was at home, he wasn't happy. He had everything at his hand. But before he went to the far country, he wasn't happy. Man, if you were brought up, young people, if you were brought up in a home like that, everything to your hand, you wanted for nothing. You'd expect to be happy. But how many young people today, and they're brought up in such homes, a mom and dad work day and night to give to their children the very best, thinking that it will make them happy. It will never make them happy. Can I say this by saying, mom and dad, what your children want most and what they need most. And what will be most precious to them is not your wealth. It is your love. But this young man, he had everything at home, but he wasn't happy. You see, the prodigal wanted to follow a life of sin. The old devil had tempted him, the lust of the flesh were craving in upon him, and he wanted to follow a life of sin, which he did do in the far country. But at home, before he got away, he had heard about the far country, and he wanted to live as they lived. He wanted to drink, and he wanted to smoke. He wanted to swear, and he wanted to curse. He wanted to do what he thought was the thing to do. He wanted sin. He wanted immorality. And you notice he had to leave home to fulfill these youthful lusts. You know, whenever I think of that, that leads me to believe that this was a God-fearing home. I do not know if it was a Christian home, but I believe that it was a God-fearing home. And that was the bit that the prodigal despised in his foolishness. Oh, perhaps he didn't mind the love of the father. He certainly didn't mind the money. Nobody, no young person minds the money, the more the better. But you know what he despised? Young people, you know what he despised? He despised that it was a God-fearing home. The prodigal thought that life in the far country would be much more fun than a God-fearing home. And he thought in his foolishness that sin, he thought that a life of sin would be better than what he had to lead at home. And I just longed to get away. You know, there's many young people in our land like that. They're just longing this evening to get away out of church and to get to university and to get away from home. To live a life of sin. Young people in the believing home this September, October. They despise the godly home of the land. They just want to get away and do what others do. The prodigal despised the good godly home that he had been brought up in. But after sin had ravaged him, he longed. Man, as he sat at the swine trough, he longed for that good godly home he once despised and left. Like many a young foolish man, the prodigal didn't know when he was well off. Maybe there's a young person here, and you despise, like the prodigal, that good godly home that you have been brought up in. And you hate the Christian lifestyle that you feel has been imposed upon you. You want to do what your friends do. They'll go into school tomorrow morning and your friends will tell you about what they did last night. Even tonight, you're sitting in church. Now they're out there somewhere. And they think they're having a good time in Lisburn and in the nightclubs and the public houses. And as they're sitting talking, you're sitting thinking of where was I as in church. You despise good godly home that you've been brought up in. You despise the church. Do you feel that you have to attend? In your heart tonight, sitting in a pew, you want to fit in with your friends. You want to get out there. You want to curse and you want to swear like the prodigal. You want to drink and you want to smoke. You want your discos and you want your dances. Maybe. Just maybe there's some young person in the meeting tonight. You've already started. Maybe you told Mommy and Daddy you're going to stay over to friend's house tonight. You're not 5 minutes out through the church gates and till you get your friend's house and you're changing and you're going out to the nightclub. to despise the life of home. I'll tell you something, young people, when you're finished with sin, you'll long for it again. I can tell you this, if you're running after the world, if you're going to the far country, you're a fool. Young person, if you're running after the world, man, you're a fool. Maybe there's an older person here tonight, and oh, you can look back 20 years. And yes, you can say, I was brought up in a godly home. Mommy and Daddy brought me out to church, and I despised it. And you went away out into the world. And you lived the life of sin, and you're chained by sin tonight. And you say, preacher, I walk the pathway that you're speaking of. And I'm a little children on the feet now, but I'm hooked in the smoke, and I'm hooked in the drink, and I'm hooked in the drugs. Follow the pathway of the prodigal. And follow the pathway that you're speaking of. My, I wish I could get back home again. I will long for the days in the Father's house. There was a life that he despised. Young person, you answer before God tonight in your heart.
Do you cherish the godly home that you're brought up in? Or do you despise it?
Young person, in God's name I say to you, over the summer months, don't you flee into the far country. The far country reads to the swine trough. If you despise and turn away and walk away from that godly hope, whenever you come to your senses, you'll long for the church pew. You'll long for the godly parents again. Young person, if you've gone to the far country,
I implore you tonight, I beg you tonight,
come to your senses even now. Then your heart that's cold, bow your head and say, Lord, I'm coming home. Coming home, coming home. Lord, I'm coming home. There was a life that he despised, but notice the sin that he pursued. While the prodigal lived in the far country, he lived an outright sinful and moral lifestyle. Verse 30, the jealous elder brother tells us something about it. He says, but as soon as this thy son was come, which hath devoured thy living with harlots. As soon as the prodigal son arrived in the far country, with a bag of money which was his share of his father's will and his father's fortune, as soon as he reached the far country, he headed straight for the nightclubs. And yes, he headed straight for the brothel. And he soon made plenty of friends. You'll find if you have money, you'll have friends. This young man, when he reached the far country, he had money. Man, he had friends. He bought them their drinks. He bought them their narcotics, their drugs that there were available. He bought them. He paid for their parties. He paid for their sinful entertainment. He paid their way every time they were together. Put your hand in your pocket, boys. I'll take out mine. Put a bag in, I'll pay him for it. But for himself, he paid sinful women to please his immoral desires. The prodigal did in the far country all that he had dreamt of and dreamt about at home. He did in the far country all that his sinful mind had imagined. He did in the far country all that his sinful heart had longed for while he was back at home. And I'm sure that he thought for a while that he was enjoying himself. My, when he first went there, he said, my, this is the life. This is living.
While the pleasures of sin was lasting, he enjoyed them. He thought, I'm a free man at last. He thought, my mommy and daddy's not here, the older brother, the old mommy, straight-laced, he's not here to keep an eye on me. I'm free to enjoy myself. I'm free to do as I please. For him, if our country was a life of wild parties, a life of wine, women, song, sordid, immoral lifestyle. Christian mind can hardly begin to imagine what this boy got up to when he got away from home. Now I wonder just how many young people dream of and imagine living such a life, satisfying the flesh. As they say, their friends come into work or university or school and they're telling about their weekend and what they did, their sinful wild parties, and my, secretly, you wish you lived in a different sort of a house, different sort of a home. You wish that you were away from home. You can't wait till August comes, or September, October. You can't wait until it comes till you get away from home, and then you can join them, be like them. You can't wait till the weekend, you're reveling in sin. That's the lifestyle that the prodigal pursued. Now hold my hands up, that's the lifestyle that he enjoyed for a while. That's the lifestyle that he grew to hear. But is that the lifestyle, young people, that you really want? Do you really want a mouth that's filled with cursing and swearing? Do you really want the headaches and the hangovers and the sickness and the hallucinations from the drugs? Do you really want them? Young people, you be warned, sin is not all that it's polished up to be by your friends and by the advertisements and the billboards. All sin is, it is a life of heartache and headache, parceled up and gift wrapped and sprinkled with glitter. But when the wrapping's taken off, all you have left is a heartache. Young people, don't despise your godly home to pursue a life of immorality. Don't fill your mouth with cursing and swearing to be like others who know no better, nothing different. Don't fill your belly with drink. Don't fill your arm with drugs just to fit in with other candidates for the misery. The life he pursued, or despised, the sin he pursued. And thirdly, notice the heartaches that he caused in doing what he selfishly did. This young prodigal left a trail of heartaches behind him. When he left home, he left a broken-hearted father standing at the gate, who it seems looked out for his son every day. You notice this, that the father didn't follow him into the far country. The father never at any time searched the nightclubs, never searched the brothels for his boy. That wouldn't have done any good, you see. But heartbroken and sad-faced, his father watched for his son coming home every day. There wasn't a sunrise that the father didn't look at the horizon. There wasn't a nightfall that he didn't go out to the gate and look for the homecoming of his son every day. Every day a broken-hearted father went to watch for his son's return. But even as he pursued his sins in the far country, he left there in the far country a trail of broken hearts and broken homes and broken-hearted families.
Indeed, as he pursued his sin, he didn't do it alone, but he brought others down into sin with him. I'm going to say this, young person, if you will not heed the warning tonight, and if you must follow after your sin, I say in God's name, go alone. Go alone. Drink alone. Smoke alone. In God's name, don't bring others with you to hell. I say to mothers and fathers tonight, and you have despised the godly home that you were brought up in, but now you have wee children at your feet. Listen, if you want to go to hell, go alone. But don't bring those wee children at your feet. Don't bring them with you. This prodigal, he went to the far country, and he lived the life, and he broke manys and manys of hearts. And he led many another young person down into the caverns of the dark. In the far country, he left behind him a many unhappy young women whose lives he had helped to ruin. He left behind him many young men whom he had helped to destroy with drink and with drugs. In that far country, many a mother, many a broken-hearted mother wept because this young man had ruined their daughter's lives by his good looks and his devilish hellish charms. Many a mother wept because this young man had destroyed their daughters. These mothers wept because this young man had used their daughters and walked away from them, laughing and sneering. Many a father in the far country was left bowed down, broken hearted because this young man destroyed his daughter and destroyed his son with alcohol and with sinful nights. In the far country, the prodigal broke his father's heart. And then, and in the far country, he broke the hearts of many of his friends. Young women and young men broken hearted by this one man. He broke the hearts of their parents. You know, I can look into parents' faces. Faces that once smiled and laughed when their children were at their knees. But now their children have grown up, and their child that they loved from their bosom, that child has gone into the far country. And these parents that once smiled and laughed have changed. Their hearts are broken, and their countenance is sad. Their smiles have turned into a frown. Their laughter has turned into a sigh. Tell me, young person, what have you done to your mother and your father? They still love you, they'd do anything for you. No matter what you think of your parents, and I speak now not as a minister, but I speak as a father. Your mother and your father would fight, and they would die for you. But what have you done on them? What have you done to them? Maybe there's an adult here, and there's an old person sitting in a home tonight, and they're brokenhearted. And they're reading their Bible, and they're praying, and they're dying with a broken heart. Why? Because their son and their grandchildren are in the far country. What have you done to your parents? What have you done to the mother who gives you life? What have you done to the father who gives himself arthritis working to ruin you? What have you done on them? Have you broken their hearts with your curses and oaths? Will their pillow be wet with tears tonight that you have caused them to shed because of the sinful path that you've chosen? Tell me tonight, are you making your parents' hearts proud? Or are you breaking their hearts? that you're breaking your parents' hearts tonight, young people, and the hearts of many another. There's a life he despised, the sin he pursued, the hearts that he broke in. Notice the sorrow that he reaped. The prodigal, he lived a life at home where he had everything. And where he had been sheltered from the world, from sin. And even at home he had been sheltered from the consequences of sin. But the prodigal either forgot or he didn't realize that the path of sin is an expensive pathway. Do you remember that, young person, tonight? The path of sin is an expensive pathway. In verse 12, when he came to age, he demanded his share of his family's fortune. He packed his bags and he lined his wallet and he went out, the fool that he was, to live in what he had in his hands and in his wallet. And of course, it soon ran out. You see, it was easy come. And it was easy go. The money soon ran out. It just poured through his wasteful hands until it was all gone. It didn't take long. Verse 15, or chapter 15, verse 14, it says, and when he had spent all, it's all gone. He went to the far country with a fortune, but now it's all gone. When he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in the land, and he began to be in want. The boy that had everything has less than nothing now. Sin will always leave the man wanting. The pleasures of sin won't last, won't satisfy. Sin will always leave a man wanting. The next thing was, all his friends forsook him. No money, no friends, they all forsook him and left. With no money to spend on them, he was no use to them any longer, and so here he was. Look at him now. He's a stranger in a strange land, far away from home. He's friendless, he's penniless, and he's homeless. He's out in the fields, speeding along the side of the swine. And I have no doubt he was lying along with them as well. He's friendless, penniless, and he's homeless. More than that, there was a mighty famine, and in hunger he took a job minding the swine. He's disgraced, he's humbled, and a Jew would have nothing to do with pigs, but here he is. He's glad to get the job. And we can see him, the boy that left home with everything in plenty, after a time, a short time of sin, he's sitting with nothing, longing for the home and the life that he once despised. And what he knows that he's disgraced himself. He knows that he's disgraced his family. The prodigal sowed to the wind. Man, he reaped the whirlwind. He sowed the seeds of sin and he reaped the harvest of sorrow. And I tell you, young people, especially, you sow the seeds of sin like him in this world to fit in with the so-called friends. And one day when your friends have used you and when your friends have forsaken you, you can reap your harvest of sorrows and you'll do it alone. Sin will always end up in sorrow, tears and regret and loneliness. We find them all here where the prodigal stand. And very quickly, after he reaped his time of sorrow, I want you to notice the reception he received. Thankfully, while the prodigal minded the pigs, verse 17 tells us he came to himself. Realizing what a fool he had been, remembering all that he had forsaken, he decided, I'm going home again. Once he despised the home life, now he just wanted to go back home again. He said, I'm going home. And just as he was, in his rags, in his pants, just as he was, he started for home. And there in the far country, he left his past, and he left his sin all behind. He was forsaken his old ways, his old sins, his old friends. He's coming home. He's leaving it all. while he was a great way off, his father spotted him on the horizon. His father was watching him waiting still. And as soon as he seen him, he ran to meet his son. And he fell on his neck and he hugged him and he kissed him. And immediately he had the old rags which represented his son's sin in the far country. He said, "Take those rags off, my boy." He put a new robe on him. The father never looked upon his sins. Never looked upon the sins that his sons committed. He says, "Those old rags which represented his son's sin in the far country, get them off." The father didn't want to know about them. He said, "Put on him a new robe." Then with a new ring, he welcomed and he brought his son back into the family again. And look at it. He gave him new shoes for his feet. He wanted to help his boy on the new path that he had come home to walk. The prodigal, he had been let down. He had been disappointed by the world and by sin and by his friends. But not by his father. His father didn't rebuke him. Neither did his father forsake him for what he had done. But rather his father forgave him and received him because his boy had repented and he had come home. But note, the father's broken heart was mended. The father's tears were wiped away. And his frown turned into a smile and his sighs turned into laughter. Young person, I don't know you tonight. Maybe even the Reverend Martin and the Reverend Douglas, they know you to see, but they don't know your heart. But God knows all about you. Maybe there's an older person here, God knows all about you. Tonight as you sit in the pew, your back's slipping. And in church, you've gone to the far country in heart. You've broken your father's heart, your mother's heart. And you've broken the Lord's heart. It caused your parents untold worry and disappointment and many's a tear for many's and many's a day. But listen, if you'll only repent of your sin tonight, if you'll only come to yourself and come to your senses and open up your eyes and see where your sin's taking you to, if you'll only come to your senses and repent of your sin and say, "I'm leaving it all behind, I'm coming home. And coming back to the Lord." Now your Heavenly Father, He will forgive you. And thank God He will receive you. If you'll only come, He says, "Him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out." I don't care how you've lived tonight. I don't know where you've been. I don't care where you've been. I just say this to you tonight, young person, older person, I just say this. If you'd only come to your senses and come back home, you will be forgiven and brought back into the family again. But what will you do? Will you stay in the pigs? Will you come back home tonight again? Oh, backslider, come. Unsaved one, don't stay in the sin, don't stay in the far country any longer. Come home. Come to Christ tonight. The Father's waiting. God is here. The Spirit's here. They're waiting. They're waiting for you to come. Will you bow your head and say, "Lord, I'm coming home. No longer in the fifties of center home. Lord, I'm coming home. Prodigal,
prodigal at length, come home. In Jesus' name, come home. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank thee for thy love that sent Christ to the cross. We thank thee for thy love that keeps thee waiting for the prodigal to come home tonight. And oh God, if there's a young person here or an older person, and for many years they've tarried in the fields of sin, we pray, oh God, bring them home tonight. Bring them back to the Father's house. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
We say a word of thanks to the Reverend Abraham for bringing God's word to us. Couldn't help but reflect upon the message again this evening. Over 2 weeks ago, a lady who was present in this meeting last Sunday night attended a service in Ballyclare Free Presbyterian Church, and she was hearing the message on the prodigal son, and she returned providentially to this house last Sunday evening, and she heard the message on the prodigal son, and she was saved. It's no coincidence, and I did not speak to the Reverend Abraham. I knew what he was speaking on about a week ago. I knew what he was coming to say. I never mentioned anything to him in case he changed his mind, thinking, well, it's already been preached on. I'm convinced that God is speaking to individuals in this house tonight. And as we would sing in the hymn, God is calling the prodigal, and he's calling today. Oh, hear his voice. We pray the Lord will bless the preaching of the word, and God's hand will be upon his servant as he now travels to Randallstown. May God give him help again in the proclamation of the word. Father, part us now in thy fear and favour. Watch over those who have to leave. Remain with us as we stay. Receive of our thanks for good things provided, for answers to prayer remarkably today, help given in the ministry of the word, the youth and the children this morning and this evening. We thank thee for those who have come, the visitors, and for those who have sat under the sound of thy word today. Bless that word savingly, and loving Father, hear and answer prayer. Receive of our thanks now for all these things, and for temporal blessings at the table. Help us to eat and drink to thine honour and glory, for Jesus Christ's sake. Amen.